planting churches, preparing leaders, proclaiming the gospel, till the whole world hears. This is the Grand Old Gospel Hour.
There's some people that want you to, you know, to do something to try and get it. I want to tell you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've received the Spirit of God in your life, you got it already. You just need to discover it and begin to use it and thank God for it.
Continuing our journey in the book of 1 Corinthians, today Dr. Hart reminds us that we are forever indebted to God for the marvelous gift of His grace. It is by grace that we are saved, and it is by grace that we are kept.
And I believe that God has something special to say to each one of us. And so I'm going to ask you to stay right there in 1 Corinthians and skip over to chapter 1. And you know, we're going to, Lord willing, go through this book just section by section. And see what the Lord has to say. Last time we got stuck on Sosthenes, if you remember. I had some lessons to learn from our brother Sosthenes. But starting in verse 4, we want to see that the Lord has something, I think, that all of us can try and emulate and imitate as you make your way through this portion of scripture. So let's pray and ask for His help. Heavenly Father, again, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that You are present in it, that You speak to us through it. And Lord, we ask that it would penetrate each one of our lives, that it would not just be something that we hear and then leave, but something that we decide to make it a part of our lives as You change our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we as Americans have been characterized as an ungrateful people. We've been characterized as a people who have a lot of stuff globally. When you look around the world, we are privileged in so many different ways and not always thankful for that. And along with our natural ingratitude comes a national pride, an ethnic pride, a family pride, personal egos. We tend to think of ourselves as having pulled ourselves up by our own bootstraps, and there's not anybody else that we need to thank because we've done so much on our own. But we fail to recognize the role that other people have played. We fail to recognize the role that God has played in our lives. The fact that we couldn't even get up this morning if it weren't for what God has done for us. And then the role that other people around us have played in making us who we are today. And in this opening section of his epistle to the Corinthian church, Paul takes the time to point out for them the grace of God. And so what I want you to do today, if I can succeed in this, we'll call it a success. I would like for you to leave here today thanking God for His grace. Amen. That as we think about all that He has done and all that we benefit from, that we can give Him thanks. And there's a lot that we should be thankful for. The first thing I want you to notice is that Paul's example to thank God for his grace in Jesus Christ. And understand that grace is different than mercy. You know, when we talk about mercy, mercy is not getting what you deserve. For example, not receiving the punishment for your crime. That is mercy. A convicted criminal will plead the judge for mercy so that they don't get all that they deserve. On the other hand, grace is benefiting more than you deserve. So even though the disobedient son does not deserve a birthday gift, he gets a birthday gift anyway. That's grace. That's grace. Grace has been extended. And so there is, you need to understand, though, an overlap between the two. Because to receive mercy is grace. And to be extended grace is merciful. And so there is an overlap. While there is a distinction, the two overlap. And so today, whether it is what you have benefited from or what God has spared you from, you need to thank God. You need to get up every morning and praise the Lord for his grace and his mercy. Paul here decides to open up this portion of his letter to the Corinthian church simply thanking God for his goodness. And so we need to stop in our busy lives to thank God for the grace that's been extended toward us. And we often fail to count our blessings while we focus on our disappointments and our pains and all the things that we would like to see. We fail, as the hymn writer said, to count our many blessings, name them one by one. And what we find here in these few verses is that Paul thanked God for a list of things. He specifically mentioned a few things that he thanked God for and that we should also remember to thank him for in our lives. The first thing that I want you to notice is that he thanked God for utterance and knowledge. Now, those are the two words that are used in New King James, utterance and knowledge. And it's by grace that we are able to get up in the morning to be able to read our Bibles. It's by grace that we're able to learn. Not everybody can learn the way we learn. It's by grace that we're able to not only gain knowledge, but to grow in understanding. That's the grace of God. And it's also by the grace of God that we're enabled to communicate that knowledge and share with others around us. Not everybody has the gift of speech. Not everybody can communicate. Not everybody can even hear. Not everybody can speak with their mouths. And so if you are able to, you have the gift of utterance and knowledge, and you're able to communicate, you should thank God. Paul here stopped to thank God that the Corinthian church had that gift of utterance and knowledge. Now, he was specifically talking about in relation to the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they could learn and understand the gospel and the message of Jesus and to be able to share that. And sometimes you and I, we've been given a certain level of ability in that regard, but too often we don't take advantage of the gift that God has given us. And so we don't learn. We don't speak, we don't share, we don't do what God has given us the ability to do. But I think if we got up in the morning and we actually stopped to thank God for knowledge and utterance, that we would be more willing to share and more willing to learn. And maybe we would even open our Bibles up a little more often and read. But I've been around long enough to know that most Christians sitting in church on Sunday morning go home after church after they close their Bible, and it doesn't get picked up and read again until the next Sunday when they pick it up for church. That's not any of our Montgo believers. But just in case it applies to you, God has given us this ability for utterance and knowledge, and we need to thank God for it and take advantage of it. So we should stop every morning and thank God for that grace that he's granted to us. We shouldn't wait for Thanksgiving to stop and thank God for his grace. We need to stop every morning when we pray and thank him for the breath in our bodies, thank him for the measure of strength and health that we enjoy, and for the ability that we have, the mental ability to learn and communicate. But also, if you go down to verse 7, he thanked God that they were given spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. You see, in addition to the physical abilities that we have and the mental abilities that we have, we experience the need to also thank God for spiritual gifts. He has given every believer at the time of salvation a gift of the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And along with the gift of the Holy Spirit, He gives us a spiritual gift. And if you've been around long enough hearing me preach, I give you that definition of a spiritual gift. I won't give you a quiz, though, but let me repeat it just in case you didn't get it. A spiritual gift is that supernatural ability given to us by the Holy Spirit that enables us to edify the body of Christ. That's basically what a spiritual gift is. It's a supernatural ability. You're born with certain natural abilities, but this is a supernatural ability. And sometimes there is a correlation between your spiritual gifts and your natural gifts, but not all the time. Sometimes God gives you a spiritual gift, a spiritual supernatural gift given to us by the Holy Spirit that enables us to be a blessing and to edify the body of Christ. And so if we all as believers have that spiritual gift, He didn't leave any of us out. At the point of salvation, we're given the Spirit of God and He enables us in some way to be a blessing. Then the challenge for us then is to find out what that gift is. Where does God want me to serve? Where has He blessed me so that I can be a blessing to the church of Jesus Christ? See, Paul wants us to not only understand that we have spiritual gifts and not only use those spiritual gifts, but as he gives us the example here, we need to thank God for those spiritual gifts. We need to stop and be grateful for the gifts that he's given to us. Let's not take for granted the fact that he's given you the ability to work with children, or given you the ability to relate to teenagers, or given you the ability to sing a note that's not too flat. Don't take that for granted. You need to thank God for the abilities that he's given you, especially those supernatural abilities that enable you to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And you know what? The more you thank God for that, is the more you're going to be driven by that gratitude to use those gifts. I want to tell you that it is almost impossible for you to have a heart of gratitude about the gifts that he's given you and then to sit back and just let them rust. That's not even possible. And so if the Spirit of Christ is in you, the presence of the Holy Spirit is there, then you're going to be given spiritual gifts. And when it comes to those spiritual gifts, you don't deserve it. You can't earn it. You can't whip it up. You can only discover that gift that's been given to you and begin to use it for the glory of God. There's some people that want you to tarry for it. There's some people that want you to fast over it. There's some people that want you to, you know, to do something to try and get it. I want to tell you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've received the Spirit of God in your life, you got it already. You just need to discover it and begin to use it and thank God for it. In chapter 13, you don't have to flip there. Most of us are pretty familiar with the 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It makes it clear that the greatest gift that the Holy Spirit gives us is the ability to love. And you can have all the other gifts that are there, but if you don't have the ability to love, you're like a clanging cymbal. Isn't that what it says? It's like a two-year-old on a drum set, you know, making a lot of noise, but not doing anything beneficial. And so if the purpose of our gifts is to edify the body, then without love for the body, there won't be much sacrificial exercise of our other gifts. And I want to challenge you today that love then becomes that, as we read in Peter, that it is that bond of perfection. It is that tie that pulls the whole thing together. You know, it's like the, you know, the lady finds that right scarf that makes the outfit work, you know. That's what love is. Love is that bond, that tie that pulls it all together and makes the whole thing work. And so we need to thank God that He gives us by the Holy Spirit the ability to love even the unlovable. God's not asking you to like everybody. He's not asking you to, you know, that to be best buddies with everybody. He's telling you that you need to love even those that are unlovable. Those that you can't get along with, those that you know, despitefully use you. And that ability is a supernatural ability that only comes by the Holy Spirit. But when the Spirit of God is at work and you can see past people's faults and begin to love them anyhow for the sake of the gospel and the edifying of the church, then I want to tell you that that is when it makes the all the other spiritual gifts work. It's the bond of perfection. It is that thing that pulls it all together. But unfortunately, what do we find? We find, well, I can't get, you know, I don't want to see that person. I don't want to see the other person. I can't get along with this one or that one. And what ends up happening is the whole thing gets messed up, and our ability to be able to function as the body of Christ is hurt. All right, let me move on. I might be stepping on somebody's toes. But the Apostle Paul reminds us, and we need to thank God. We can thank God today that there is nothing lacking in our spiritual gift toolkit. By the grace of God, you have everything you need to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. And it is only the opposite of love is selfishness. And so I want to say it is only our selfishness that stops us from being a blessing to the kingdom of God. It's only our selfishness that stops us from using our spiritual gifts to edify the body of Christ. It is only our own desire to do what we want to do, regardless of how it impacts other people, that stops us from wearing the whole outfit the way God wants us to wear it. Somebody hearing me? And so I just want to challenge you. We need to thank God for His grace. We need to thank God that He has given us this wonderful ability to do that. But also in verse 7, notice that we need to thank God for hope. We need to thank God for the hope that He gives us. In verse 7, He says, "So that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's hope. You know, this verse encourages us that while we're gifted with spiritual gifts, we're enabled to also eagerly wait for the revelation of the coming of Christ. And with all the suffering and trials that we go through in this life, with all the pain that we endure, with all the knuckleheads that we have to deal with, oh, yeah, I didn't get an amen there. But with all the issues around us, God gives us hope for the coming of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful today that, you know, with all the stuff that you go through, that I can keep my eyes on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that gives us hope. Just look at the statistics of how suicides have increased as the world's suffering has increased. Even teenage suicides with their whole lives in front of them have lost hope and are taking their lives at an alarming rate. During the fourth quarter, in this last quarter of the year, as we approach the holiday season, depression and despair reach a peak. During a time when we should be experiencing the most gratitude and the most hope in our lives. But we can thank God for the hope that we have that Jesus is coming again. And no matter what the trial is that you're going through, no matter what the circumstance is that you're going through, you can understand that Jesus is coming. I don't know when, but it could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. It may not be for another 1,000 years, but he's coming again. And he's coming. He's not going to come late. He's coming right on time. And so thank God for the hope that we have in his coming. I like it that in verse 6, we read that the testimony of Christ was past tense, notice that, confirmed in us. That's past tense. And we talked around the, you know, earlier prayer time about the faithfulness of God, that his promise is confirmed, his promise is sure, past tense confirmed. Then in verse 8, we read that we will be confirmed to the Lord, future tense. So there is a past tense confirmed and a future tense confirmed. I have been confirmed and I will be confirmed, and I stand sure in the promises of God. I can be grateful for that. I can thank God for that. Is it past or is it future? Well, it's both. And we can be grateful for that. The fact is that we have a firm foundation. We have a solid rock. We have a hope that has not and cannot be shaken. For many of us, the hope is like a shiny jewel that a man received and began to show it to everybody that he came in contact with. Some people smudged the jewel with their hands, their dirty hands. And the man got tired of constantly having to clean it, and so he got a box to put this precious jewel in that he could still show it to people. But he got the box, and he got tired of showing it to people who just had no respect for it at all. So he began to only show it to people who saw what and understood what they were looking at and had respect for this jewel. And the result was that over time, he shared the jewel of hope less and less. He even stopped opening the box himself to be encouraged by the jewel. And finally, on his sickbed, he looked frantically, but he couldn't find the box of jewel. He forgot where he even put it. Now, isn't that like some of us as Christians? Do you know that most people that witness and share the gospel with others do so in the first 2 years of their salvation? When they're all excited, that hope is like a precious jewel. It's a shining object that you want to share with everybody around. But you find that people dismudge it and people, you know, disrespect it. And so you begin to hide it in a little box. And pretty soon it's so well hidden, you don't even get to it yourself. And then when the day of trouble comes, you can't even find where the hope was, where you put it. But hope in Christ, while it's like that, it will never lose its luster. But if we stop opening the box, we can forget the benefit of the beauty of hope in Christ. And so my suggestion is, with hearts filled with thanksgiving and gratitude, we need to make sure that we never hide that hope that's given to us. We need to thank God for the hope we have in Christ. We need to always look to it. Every morning we get up, remind ourselves about the hope that we have in Christ, the promises that he's given to us. And as we remind ourselves, we'll be willing, with hearts filled with gratitude, to share that hope with other people and never get tired of that. And so Paul thanked God for the beauty of our hope in Christ. But then last but not least, we need to thank God for the confirmation of Christ. And there aren't many things in life that you can be sure about, but it's been said that the only sure things are death and taxes. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, Paul wants you to know that you can add to the list the confirmation and surety of our fellowship with Christ. God is faithful and has called us into this fellowship with himself, and he will not let you go. You can't trust the Phillies. Lord knows, not this year. And you better not bet the mortgage on the Eagles. But with the right legal team, you may even be able to get out of paying some of those taxes. But one thing that you can bank on is the faithful confirmation, the sure calling that we have in fellowship with Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I thank God that I am confirmed in Christ. I don't know about you, but I am secure. My sins are forgiven. My eternal destiny is sure. And I thank God for the fellowship and relationship that we can have in Jesus Christ. Is anybody else glad to be in the family of God? Am I the only one today? Are you glad to be joint heirs with Christ? Anybody glad that they are adopted, confirmed, sealed, and secure in Christ? Well, then, let's share that hope. Let's share that good news with others around us. And so say it loud with me. Thank God for his grace. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have done for us. Lord, when the seeds of ingratitude crop up in our hearts, we pray that you would remind us of this wonderful jewel of hope that you've given to us, the wonderful gifts that you've instilled in us. Lord, that you would remind us of the security that we have in Jesus Christ. Help us to be grateful people. Help us to see that gratitude and thankfulness grow and motivate us to serve you even more.
Thanks for joining us today. If you are grateful for our broadcast, you can play a significant part in keeping it available in your community and beyond. We rely on the prayerful support of friends like you who will join hands with us. Thank you for remembering this ministry and all the people we are reaching with God's Word. If you'd like to express your support, contact us today. You can call us at 215-361-8111. Again, that's 215-361-8111. You can also donate online at our website, gogfministries.org. Or you can mail your tax-deductible gift to our offices at GOGF Ministries, 158 East Main Street, Lansdale, PA, 19446. Your monthly gift will help us to fulfill our mission of planting churches, preparing leaders, and proclaiming the gospel till the whole world hears.